You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 420, dude. Today is Sunday, September 23rd, 2018.
I was wondering if you're going to reference that in some way. Good for you, Steve.
Thanks, man.
Yep.
My name is Steve. Hammy already broke that.
Oh, sorry.
Surprise there.
Wow.
So boys, forget
about... If you're
about...
a first-time listener.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome.
So, guys, forget about the normal introduction and our usual business up front.
And well, at least introduce me before we forget.
No, you're both here. Yeah. Our Atlanta Braves are 2018 National League East champions. Can you believe it?
This is where we really need sound effects. No way. I cannot believe it. It is amazing.
I've been like, it's going to happen. But when it actually happened on Saturday, the distance between what I was thinking and what I experienced that day was miles apart. I really hadn't wrapped my head around it.
I hadn't either emotionally until watching the guys celebrate. Right, watching Freeman and just watching Snickers post game stuff, and like that's what really made it sink in for me. It was too improbable. I don't know, just the way it happened. I had the exact same feeling, Steve. It just didn't sink in until, like, I thought it would have. You know, I was not when the final pitch. I wasn't racing out to the pitcher's mound in my mind, and you know, jumping in that fray. It was just different. But it has really sunk in, and it is remarkable. It is remarkable. We lost 90 games in the past three seasons. We were predicted the best power rankings at the beginning of the season had us at 26th out of 30 teams.
Well, and Vegas had us in the 70s in wins.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Wonder what the money you're getting paid out right now, if you had put the money down for the Braves winning the National League East. I bet it would be a pretty solid payoff.
Yes, I would think so. And you also get paid in national fans' tears, which is nice. All right, so guys, it is the all NL East clinching show. But first, a quick break. So guys, Saturday was the best day as a Braves fan for me in a long time. And before we get into it, how about another magical, resilient week from the team that got us here? I mean, the two dreadful games to start the week against the Cardinals, and then the kind of must-win, Tukey, you know, heroic start, finding a way to take game three against the Cardinals, and then winning the three games in a row against the Phillies to wrap it up. So, Hammy, how was your day on Saturday?
It was amazing. I totally agree that it was very resilient. But again, you know, that was a tough series against the Cardinals, right? And they certainly, it got away from us at the end there. But we can hang with those guys. And then just to turn around and take care of business, to see Freddie just be back to his normal self and just raking. Oh, yeah. To see big hits from Ozzie. The excitement and the passion for the game, which sounds like such a cliche, for Acuna, you know, just with him winning and being there, it was just a heady week for me. I don't know how else to say it.
It was, I mean, in a way, I love how the week played out because it was a microcosm of the season. It was a microcosm of the, oh my God, the Braves look dreadful. This is it. It's coming off the rails. Now, there wasn't that much track at this point anyways, but they still turned it around. And I mean, as terrible as they looked on Monday and Tuesday against the Cardinals, to do what they did and to, you know, you were talking about sort of the heroic performances this week, Hammy. Dansby, too. I don't know if you remember Thursday night game one against the Phillies, him legging out that double that really could have, you know, easily just been a single. He went first to third, I think, Friday night. I mean, like, they were not messing around. They wanted to wrap this thing up this weekend, and my God, it was beautiful.
Yeah, that game on Friday, I think, was my favorite of all of them. And that obviously wasn't the game that clinched, but that game was so much fun. And all that energy with Ender when he got that big double, and then Camargo came up and got that hit, and they were both just, the excitement was just, it was just awesome to witness. I mean, they, you could tell it meant everything to them. That they had, and you, I mean, this is a group that has really worked hard to get to this point. I mean, obviously we've talked about that. There was a sense that they were playing over their heads all year long, and maybe it was me, but you know, you always sort of felt like when they'd start to get off track that maybe, uh-oh, okay, this is finally where we get to the point where, it's been too much for them, and it never happened. They kept, there was certainly dips. But what did they never? They never had a four-game losing streak all season long. Is that
no? They never had a five. They had maybe, yeah, but they had four gamers, but never a five.
And a few of those, even.
Yeah. And they just kept plowing ahead. They kept, you know, we kept thinking, oh, well, this late inning magic isn't going to. I mean,
I said it 100 times. I said it 100 times. That was the refrain.
That was all on display again this weekend. So it was great. And you know, I loved those teams of the 90s, but they were so clinical and they were so devoid of emotion. You know,
we were
and
supposed it's not, to win. We had the best talent, best pitchers, best hitters. Exactly.
Right. And it's never a function that you didn't think that they wanted to win or that they weren't competitive. I mean, John Smoltz is probably one of the most competitive people to ever play baseball, but you just didn't see guys just screaming and jumping and doing all the things that this young team is doing now. And it just fills your heart with joy watching it all. I mean, it's just so much fun to have been part of this whole thing. And I'm so excited to watch it continue to go. I mean, it would have been shame. I would have lived and loved the fact that this season had been what it was, even if they hadn't made the playoffs. But it would have been a shame that we were robbed of this youthful exuberance, getting an opportunity to play into October.
Yeah, you know, another thing for me too is Snicker, right? That emotional video and a lot of the interviews, but the one that he did with Ken Rosenthal on Saturday.
Amazing.
And just everything he said and how human he was. And I think, Kurt, a lot of the, you know, we have been reluctant, I think, to give Snicker credit. And obviously he's got his flaws. And not too long ago, we were wondering, does Snicker stay around? Is he the manager for the future? You know, when do we get a Ron Washington in there or a Bud Black or something like that? And I think that question is passed. He is the manager, and I am grateful for it. And I really, really loved him on Saturday. I was proud that he was our manager. I want him to win. I think he belongs here. I think it's great. I really just it came into great relief for me how important and integral Snicker was to this whole season.
Yeah, think back to his interview the night the post game after Urania beamed Acuña. You know, and he talked about that, you know, these are my guys. And then that interview with Ken Rosenthal. I mean, when he basically just had to turn away and he kind of patted Rosenthal on the arm to say, I cannot do this anymore. I'm about to ugly cry on national television.
Yep.
It was the greatest. I mean, hey, man, when you brought it up, I actually got chills again. Like, it gave me chills Saturday watching it. The whole Snicker story adds another level of how many levels? I've lost track. Just another amazing level to this season.
Yep.
Well, and that ties in too with the coaches. You know, I mean, with that team in the 90s, all the coaches were sort of the same way. You know, I mean, they were all very stoic and very clinical as well. But this group of coaches that he has brought in, and I mean, you have to believe that when they got rid of Pendleton and when they got rid of Eddie Perez and stuff like that, that maybe that was the reason they had this young team, and they bring in guys like Eric Young and they bring in Ron Washington and those guys. I mean, the energy watching those guys just coach first and third. I've never had so much fun watching a first base and a third base coach in my entire life. I mean, they were feeding off of it and providing the energy to the guys on base and everything else. I mean, it really has been an amazing season.
Speaking of Eric Young, did you guys see the picture of him posing in the middle of like Acuña and Rio and Tukey And, you know, the Braves tweeted out or something like, you know, the next album cover or something. It is awesome.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think Anthopoulos deserves some credit as well. You know, I mean, there were a lot of critics who were saying he didn't do enough to get this team over the heap and he kept his hands in his pocket. But, I mean, even from the beginning of the season, and I read a great article on this yesterday where I forgot where I read it. I think it was The Athletic. But just that, you know, the beginning of the season, he was much more analytics oriented. He was smart enough to save money back for the trade deadline to make those moves. But he didn't, at the end of the day, he gave up nothing to get where, you know, to get the bats and the extra pitchers that we needed to get here. I think he did a masterful job. I think he deserves some of the credit too. I don't know if Coppy would have been able to turn this talent into a winner this year.
Well, Coppy certainly wouldn't have approached it in the measured sort of half pregnant way that Anthopoulos pulled off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he really did play both sides of, I'm not going to give away any of the draft capital, but I'm going to make the team better. I mean, Gausman and Venters and Duda, I mean, the team is better.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he pushed it, you know, over the edge into where we are now. So Anthopoulos was in the TV booth in the finale on Sunday. And they asked him, so honestly, like, when did you really start to think the team could win the division? And he said the beginning of May when we decided to bring Acuna up, which I was like, wow. All right. Good on you.
Yeah.
Ham, you know, you mentioned the 390 or more lost seasons. But think about even before that. Right. I mean, there was the division series in 2013. Ugh. Which was the last time they were in the playoffs, where we were never going to advance.
Never.
There was never a moment that I felt like we were going to take out the Dodgers. And the year before that was the infield fly and Chipper's last game. It has. I mean, for it to happen this year, coming on the heels of the Coppy and Hart travesty, where we were in November, December last year, to have taken the East, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
It's amazing.
And the mayhem and the joy in the clubhouse. Kurt, you were talking about sort of how clinical they all were. I remember through the 2000s, whenever the Braves would clinch, whenever the Braves would clinch, I would watch the post-game celebration to try to see, do they seem a little more emotional this year? Do they seem a little more into it this year, hoping that it would in some way sort of play out into the playoffs, you know? And my God, it was, you'd never seen anything like this.
Well, I think you did in 91, right? I mean, I think what we are, the parallel for me, because Curtis, I agree, but I would also say when Sid Bream slid across the plate with Cabrera's single and David Justice and that sort of a pig pile, whatever you call it there, that was unbridled enthusiasm. And so it had me thinking, I hope we're at the beginning of another one of those runs, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And that was obviously fresh and new.
Exactly. And for the city as well, right? For the city as well as for the team.
And the youth of those guys too. I mean, those guys were all young when that was happening. I'm so excited that they've sort of embraced this new dimension of baseball that is emotion. You know, I mean, I remember going to the series when they played the Cubs, when it was Kerry Wood and those guys, and that team had Sheffield and you know, I mean, we had no starting pitching. It was all offense. That was the year we decided we'd go all offense, and Javi Lopez hit like 42 homers or something like that. And of course nobody got a hit in the postseason, but it was Marcus Giles and DeRosa were the only guys on that team that were showing any emotion whatsoever. I mean, you know, they would get a hit and they were, you know, pumping and doing everything like those guys were doing this weekend to the dugout, you know, and it was like, yeah, something's happening. Here we go. And then, you know, somebody would pop out and that would be the end of it. And it's just, I love energy. I mean, that's what you thrive off of with these teams is seeing that stuff. And, and I think it hurt the Braves, frankly, in the late 90s that they sort of lost, maybe they even lost their zeal for the whole thing because it became so clinical and the expectations were so high that it became a drag on them. I mean, there were no expectations on this team, which, you know, what did you say, Ham? Everybody projected they at best they would be 26th out of 30 teams. So, you know, I mean, it's all house money.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, enjoy the hell out of this because there will never be a season like this again. You know, this is hopefully the start of something. But for these guys to have done it as such underdogs, for no one ever to expect it, there'll never be another season like this.
Except for the winning.
Well, the winning. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah.
All right. So guys, the NLDS starts on October 4th, which is both the last day the Braves won a playoff game. That was the one game they won against the Dodgers in 2013, was October 4th. And it also happens to be my birthday, all of which I feel like are good signs for the Braves. So, Kurt, let's start with you. What makes you most confident and most worried about this team and their chances in this upcoming playoff series?
It is one and the same. Youth. Inexperience in this situation. So the advantage is that, again, they've sort of played over their head. They have not allowed people to say, this is not supposed to happen. This is impossible. You're not supposed to be where you are right now. They've just gone out and had fun and played and things have come to them. And you know, you go into the playoffs and great teams, as we've seen here, maybe a couple times in Atlanta, that Nets. Maybe they get tight and and maybe the Nationals too. And you know, the burden of expectation is a legitimate burden. And so them going in, knowing that there will be no one who picks them to get out of the NLDS, I can't imagine that anybody, whoever they end up being matched up against, I bet
they'll be the lowest seed. They'll be the lowest seed of any of the teams in the playoffs.
And all their games will be at, you know, 3 o'clock and nobody will be.
Maybe. Although Acuna's on the national stage,
you get my point.
But it depends. I'm with you, Curtis. It depends on who they're going up against, right?
They'll be as loose as they can possibly be. I bet these big moments have not gotten to them. The disadvantage is they never will have experienced anything like this, obviously. And I mean, this is not even a team and a group of guys that has won. I mean, I guess some guys won the AA championship Mississippi last year. But beyond that, there's not been a lot of minor league winning despite all this talent. So it's not something that they will be prepared for. The media and the hype and the energy that comes with postseason. So that might take a toll on them, but yeah, it's youth is my answer to both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go quick, Steve. Curtis, you stole the same thing. I mean, you said house money. We're not supposed to be here and we overcame that. I can only imagine that everyone's going to say we're not supposed to win in the postseason. And I'm excited to overcome that. Like you said, you know, and for me, there's two players that I think give us a distinct advantage. Ronald Acuna is the first. You mentioned that. He's one of the most exciting and has arguably the most raw talent of anybody in the playoffs. And it feels like no stage is too big for him, actually. Yeah. You know, and so, I mean, I think he is ready for this moment. I am convinced that this will be a breakout moment for him. And then the other one is Folty. Folty is an ace. I mean, Folty may not be as seasoned or as mature as anyone else, although he's made leaps and bounds this season. But talent-wise, he's got the same stuff as any starting pitcher in the playoffs. He is a legitimate number one, and I think he can win a game when we need him to. And then the disadvantage for me is the bullpen. You know, our most reliable pen arms are 50-50 at best, and the other ones are a little bit of a dumpster fire, and that could come back to, I mean, you got to have a good bullpen to win in the postseason.
You know, hopefully and somewhat under the radar this week in the midst of everything else was both Vizcaino and Sobotka kind of seeming dominant. I mean, Sobotka was dominant in those two games against Philadelphia, and Vizzy looked really good too. If they're all of a sudden good, that changes the complexion of the bullpen a good deal. You know, I mean, it really helps out.
Absolutely.
So, Ham, I'm with you for sure. The bullpen and Snitker's use of them. Look, as much as I love Snitker, it doesn't change the X's and O's. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be tough at times watching who he brings out. I mean, there's going to be moments in the playoffs where we're going to be like, oh, dear God. But
that's Luke Jackson's music.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I looked up. So since August 1st, Fangraphs does a high leverage situations and medium and low leverage, basically like how on the line the game is. That since August 1st, the Braves relief pitchers have a better XFIP than Dodgers, Cubs, D-backs, and Rockies. So, you know, it's been an absolute roller coaster. What's that?
In high leverage situations.
In high leverage situations, exactly. You know, there's the walks and there's the hits, but, you know, we have seen them get out of it, as sort of rough looking as it's been.
Yeah, and we're here in the postseason, so.
Exactly. And for me, the confidence is the magic in the chemistry. I mean, it's been a big piece this whole year. There's magic in this team. You know, Snitker, interviews all weekend just kept talking about they have the it factor. And there is something to that.
Yep.
But there's also the offense. You know, the offense is legit. I mean, it's second in the NL in runs scored. Dodgers, of course, are first. Second in extra base hits, Dodgers again first. Late inning magic, right? I mean, we've seen it all year. And back to Fangraphs in innings 7 through 9 in high leverage situations again, the Braves are first in batting average, second in OPS, and first in weighted runs created plus. I mean, they do big work at the end of the game. And if they can keep it close, and back to what you said, Hammy, about the starting pitching, which I'm pretty confident about the starting pitching. Folty, yes. On a ball is going to be in there. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. Gausman and, you know, whoever the fourth guy is. I mean, the starting pitching's pretty good.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for it to start.
I know.
I mean, it's way too long. And it's just such a gift. I mean, you know, I mean, but seriously, look, clearly this is one of our favorite things in the world, because we do a podcast about it.
I do it for the money.
Yes. Well, right. Yeah. You're in it for the money, but Kurt and I are in it for the love of the game.
Right.
No, I'm actually a fair weather fan.
Yes. I know earlier this week you were.
That's right.
That's true. Around.
I've read about you on Twitter.
Yeah. Lifelong Braves fan, 10-year podcast, fair weather fan.
But to get the, you know, to get the every pitch matters gift of playoff baseball, I still can't believe that we're getting it. Okay, guys, it's time for fair or foul, where I throw something out there and we agree with it fair and disagree with it foul. So, Hammy.
Yes.
Fair or foul, the Braves should push the bullpen guys, meaning like multiple appearances in a row, sort of throwing some of the getting rest out the window in order to secure seeding this week, you know, in order to get home field advantage.
So they should try to win as many games as possible this week.
Exactly.
I don't think they should. We have, I think, the best road record in the NL. Certainly one of the best. Not a great home record. I don't think we will have, in air quotes, a home field advantage over anyone we play. So with that in mind, I'd rather have all of our guys be rested. I'd rather Snitker get out there, maybe see what people have, experiment some stuff. Don't worry about winning. And let's just roll the dice whether we're on the road or at home with a rested pen.
Yeah. Curtis?
I disagree. The whole thing with the Braves this year has sort of been the continuous flow of energy that has carried them. And I think that you risk perhaps losing some of that magic if you shut everybody down and sort of allow this next week to be played out like it's spring training. And every guy that you've brought up for September call-ups or whatever, that you start Lucas Duda and Ryan Flaherty every single day. And same with the bullpen. I want those guys going back out there and being in as much high leverage situations as they can. I think home field advantage is important, just because if you get to where it's a game seven or something like that, I want that game being played in Atlanta, regardless of how bad they played overall in Atlanta record wise. So I'm going to go fair that I think they should push the bullpen guys.
So I think it's somewhere in the middle, though, Kurt. I don't think even if they decide not to push as hard as they can, I don't think
they're still going to play.
Yeah, Freddie's not going to sit four out of the, you know, six games or anything like that. I think, you know, I think they need to do a little of both. I mean, it's really unlikely they're going to catch the Cubs, right? They're three back in the win column, four back in the loss column. And the Cubs are 7-3 over the last 10. The Dodgers are 8-2 over the last 10. The Dodgers are one game worse in the win column.
And they're playing for something. Their games matter.
Right, right. They're battling, you know, against Colorado, who's still Sunday night only 1.5 games out.
Right.
Yeah. What's the Cubs situation with the Brewers? I mean, they're still sort of
two.
Yeah, the Brewers are 2.5 out.
2.5.
Yeah, yeah. The Cubs are pushing hard this final week as well. No doubt about it. I think it needs to be sort of a balance of the two, but make sure the bullpen guys have got to be rested and you've got to line up the starting pitchers like you want and everything else. Just, you know, do what you can to win the games, but you've got to rest the bullpen guys, I think. All right, Curtis, fair or foul? Vizcaino will get the majority of the closing opportunities in the division series.
Fair. I think that he showed the last couple of games that he's played in that he is our closer, much less shaky than Minter has been. I think it's going to be Vizcaino all the way.
Hammy?
Yeah. Most seasoned. He's most rested. He has, I think, arguably the nastiest stuff other than maybe Sabaka. But Sabaka's not getting that. So he's our best bullpen arm right now, hands down. He gets the most closing opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, Minter in September, he's pitched 7 1/3, 7 appearances. His slash against is .250, .344, .429. He's giving up a hit per inning, 4 walks over that time, 4 earned runs. He's been shaky. I mean, he has been shaky. Yeah, so, yes, I agree. I mean,
his curveball is just not hitting. It seems like it's low and outside every time he throws it, especially against left-handers. And that's where you need to be good.
And this coming week, of course, could change all that. But I'm fair with that Viz will get the majority. All right, Hammy, fair or foul? In this first round, you want any team but the Dodgers.
So I want the Cardinals, I think. I want a little revenge from the infield fly rule, plus I hate them. But I am still a little shell-shocked from 2013. I don't want to face Kershaw. I don't want to face Bueller. I know that the Cardinals just played us very tough, but I think our advantage over them is, you know, is in reference to what Kurt said. They're young. Their starting pitchers are young. Their team is young. Their manager is young. Inexperienced. I feel like the Dodgers are going to be a tough out. The Cubs are too. The Brewers, they've got a tough, tough lineup. I feel like we actually have the best odds against the Cardinals.
So I hear you, but I'm just not even assuming we're going to be the number one seed and get the wild card.
Well, you asked who I wanted to face.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Who
are my options
realistically,
then?
Well, I think your options are L.A. or Colorado.
I would rather face Colorado.
Curtis?
When it comes down to this stuff, I think that you got to play who you got to play. So I obviously the matchups are worse or better against certain teams, but all these teams are going to be good. That is a cliche, but it's true. I mean, you don't get to the postseason unless you're good. And these teams either have really strong lineups or they got really good pitching or they have a combination of both. So why not just take on the Dodgers first and get it over with and then see where you go from there. I would love more than anything to get revenge against the Dodgers. So,
Kurt, have you heard the one, take it one game at a time?
Yep.
Yep. That's a good one, too.
That is a good one.
You should watch the Falcons post game. It is the greatest collection of cliches ever.
Oh, it makes me nauseous.
So, yeah, I mean, I would rather face the Rockies. The fact that I truly believe Tehran's going to get a start in the division series against the home run binging Dodgers, it just scares me. You know, I just think that the Dodgers are better than the Rockies. So I would really like something sort of amazing to happen this coming week and the Rockies overtake them. But Kurt, to your point, let's just, you know, play who we play. All right. So let's talk about starting pitching in the division series. We've been doing this for the last few weeks. As of today, Hammy, and everything I've read this past week is the Braves will go with four starting pitchers. So as of today, who are you picking? Who do you want those four to be?
This is the order in which I think they'll actually go, but I think it'll
Is this what you think is going to happen, or who?
I think is going to happen. What I think is going to happen is I might change the order a little bit, but I think it's going to be Folti, Teheran, Gausman, Sanchez.
Okay.
Maybe Gausman and Teheran swap. Right, but I feel like, you know, with it being the Braves and he being their opening day starter, and I feel like he gets this. And I guess maybe it depends. Maybe if we're on the road to start, which I guess that's not going to happen, is it?
Sure. I mean, the Dodgers or the Rockies.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. If we're on the road, I go with Teheran. I don't want him starting at home. So maybe you factor that in.
Sure.
But it's those four.
What would you do if you got to decide? Who would your four be?
It would be those four.
It would? Okay. Curtis?
Yeah, I it's obviously Folti goes one. I would think Gausman would be two, but I bet it ends up being Teheran. The same thing I've been talking about sort of weeks now, that I think Teheran gets the edge on all of this because of
his history,
longevity with the team. Yeah. But Gausman has really been amazing since he came over. We probably have not spent enough time talking about how great he's been. Since he's been here, 5-2 with a 2.80 ERA, 2.24, 2.83, 3.23 slash against him. And Anibal Sanchez has really been amazing too. I guess I worry that he has not really gone deep in games. And I don't want four innings of our bullpen necessarily in a playoff game. But I think those are the four guys. I don't think there's really any, it's definitely not Newcomb. Steve, you're probably going to throw Tukey into the mix, there are definitely worse options than Tukey, but I think that those are the four guys they give it to.
Yeah. I cannot see Newcomb. They cannot do it. I know he gets a start this coming week, and even if he looks amazing, I don't know how you trust him. And Julio scares the hell out of me, but I agree that he's going to be one of the four. I think it'll probably be more like Folti, Sanchez, Gausman, Julio. I think that Sanchez this week and the way he even pitched in the finale against Philly on Sunday, I just think they're going to actually throw him second. And I agree it's Julio. I really hope Tukey makes the postseason roster and he's there to jump in if one of the starting pitchers goes off the rails. But please no Newcomb. Please, please. All right, so guys, the postseason hope meter has been put to bed, dreaming of the number 10.
Or strong nine.
And strong nines, right? But that gives way to the NLDS hope meter. So on a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to give our rating on how likely we think it is the Braves will win the series. Hammy, where are you at on the NLDS hope meter?
Why do you have to start with me? Start with Kurt so people can hate him first and then be so blinded by that they don't hear what I say.
It wouldn't matter. Once you started speaking, it would all sort of revert back. So. Go ahead.
It's a five. For me, I could see us winning. I could see us losing just as equally. I think we have all the reasons to win, but we're going to face tough competition with a shaky bullpen, and it makes me nervous. And we've never been there, so I am 50-50.
Curtis?
I'm about the same. I don't like any of the matchups that the Braves are going to get. I don't know that they are better than any of the teams that they're going to play. I mean, they're certainly have the capacity to beat anybody. We've seen it all year long. But they have seemed sort of shaky against the better competition that they've had to face, especially in the second half of the season. So I think that there's no doubt that they can go out and win a series, that they can ambush some team just like they have done on so many occasions this year. But I'm a five.
So I hear you guys. I mean, it's kind of a toss-up. I could see it going either way. But then I factor in the magic. I mean, I really do think there's magic with this team. So I'm a 6.5.
Whoa. I feel like the hope meter is a misleading term because I am a 10 on the hope meter, right? The expectation meter is potentially a better name for this. Just consider it. Send that to the, you know, the staff as they write up the script for next week.
You know, I just tear up everything that comes into the suggestion box, Sammy.
Well, yes.
From you guys. Twitter. You know, I listen to Twitter.
All right. So fans, help me out here.
Call the home office and call New York and get a replay.
Although, Ham, I like that you've brought this up like 7 years into the hope meter.
So it's funny. I was talking to my wife, who still has never listened to a show. She's got a great streak here for 10 years. And just sort of talking about it. And she's like, I thought your hope meter, I would think that your hope meter would be 150 on a scale of 4. And it is always. And so I guess, I don't know, it struck me that you know, I don't want fans to think like everybody thinks about Kurt the same about me, that I'm a bad fan or a Fairweather fan. I certainly want them to win.
Sure.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, we'll have a staff meeting.
Okay.
This week, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Talk to the branding
there.
Team.
Yes. Ham, my wife calls it a blog.
Yeah. That's right. My mom wants to watch me record it every time we're together. She's like, can I watch you record the show tonight? Which I can't think of a more awkward thing.
All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, but first a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just ended, and we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Cade K, who predicted that Acuna would hit 2 homers and steal 3 bases this week. He hit 1 home run and stole 1 base, so with a week to go in the regular season, he's at 26 homers and 15 stolen bases. Thanks for playing, Kate. All right, guys, let's see how we did. So I predicted that the Braves would throw 2 or more games this week with 1 or less walks. And here are the walk totals per game, starting with game 1 against St. Louis. 7, 3, 5, 2, and those were both Gausman's. 3, those were both Tehran's. Like the bullpen had 2 clean walk games this week, 4 and then 3. So not quite down to the 1 there. All right, Hammy, you predicted that Tukey would go 7+, give up 2 earned or less, and get the win. And you were close. He was 2 earned. He got the win, but it was only 5 2/3 innings. Mm. But my God, he may have turned the season around that day.
Yeah, that was huge.
Huge, huge, huge. All right, Curtis, you predicted that Freddie would hit over 350 with 3 homers. And all Freddie did was hit 461 this week. But only 2 homers, Kurt. Close, but no cigar. But, Kurt, you are still winning September. With 1 week to go, you're up 1-0 to everybody else. So
didn't Freddie have both those homers Monday? Like, Curtis, I thought you were going to win your Shot in the Dark on Monday.
It was off to a very good start to the week.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve.
That's all right. All right. So I will start for this final week of the regular season. I'm going Max Fried gets a start this week and throws at least 5 1/3 shutout innings. Hammy, how about you?
I think Adam Duvall comes alive this week and hits 2 homers.
All right. Curtis, what do you got?
And by homers, you mean?
Not people like Steve. With a hard foul ball.
That would be terrible. That happened twice to me this week? My God. Exactly.
Well, Nick, there's other homers besides you. Just people like you.
Right.
Speaking of homers, they need to bring Homer the Brave back. Mine is that the group of rookie starters, excluding Sean Newcomb, I don't really count him anymore, but Max Fried, Colby Howard, Tukey, Bryce, Wilson, Max Fried,
you did,
et cetera.
Yeah.
They get at least 2 wins this week of that group. That
All right.
Ham, I like dare it. I say, poo poo platter of
yeah,
starters.
Sure. Sure. You may. Am I the censor all of a sudden?
No, that's just your favorite term.
Oh yes.
Steve is totally like, how did I lose control of this?
My God.
Winning does weird things to us.
All right, folks, remember, you get to play each week, too. Get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday. First pitch on Tuesday. The Braves are off on Monday. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. You could win an ABT koozie if you hit it exactly. All right, so, guys, it's the final regular season week. Six games, all on the road. Three with the Mets, three with the Phillies.
And who cares?
And who cares, really? Right.
Thanks for listening, folks. No, sorry.
So who knows really that much about the pitching matchups? We do know about the Mets series. So Tukey gets the start on Tuesday. He faces Syndergaard. Syndergaard has been struggling a bit. He has a 3.9 ERA over his last 10. Newcomb gets DeGrom, who's the best pitcher in the National League, of course. And then Julio gets Vargas. So the Newcomb and Julio starts are kind of big. You know, I mean, Julio's had a nice run here. I suppose if Newcomb goes out and just absolutely dazzles, maybe it gives the front office something to think about. But
please,
pretty
no.
interesting.
Please.
And then, my God, the Phillies could not be any less interested in playing that final series. Can you imagine having to face the Braves again the last three games after getting knocked out by them, after imploding?
I think the Phillies fans will be gracious, though.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that I let all the Phillies fans know how good their crowds are in those games.
Yes.
Since we had to hear about it from them all season long. And I read something today, Sunday, that they might shut Aaron Nola down for the rest of the season.
It'd be foolish not to. It'd really just be silly.
Yeah.
All right, so this a strange final week with the division all wrapped up. Hammy, what do you think happens this week?
3-3. And
I mean, that would be sort of the obvious, you know, rest guys, but
that's me.
You know, try
obvious.
Kind of. Yeah.
That's what I try to do.
It's what you bring to the show. Man.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Someone has to do it. It can't be all cutting edge thinking.
Yes.
I'm going 4-2. I think they can still go 2-1 and 2-1 because, my God, both those teams have to be checked out. Curtis?
Ham, who we call our own Sunday lineup. I'm gonna go 4-2 as well.
Whoa.
Because I am that pumped.
So I really, you know, it's funny. I was thinking this week, like, I couldn't even remember what our show was in 2013 when we clinched. And you know, I mean, like, this feels so different than anything I can remember. Since we started this whole thing in 07, just what a magical, magical season. I still cannot believe that we're here. And Thursday, October 4th cannot come fast enough. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Brave!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.